wonderful, wonderful pleasure to be back with you here at New Life Ministry in Huntington. And I didn't say anything about praise, but I've just been filled with joy all week. Amen. To give a little bit of a history, okay, when I first was invited by Brother TB to get up into this area and to do a mission trip, we have done a lot of evangelistic work around the place and stuff like that, and have been pretty well much in different places throughout the country, to include Canada, to where we went out on involved with the motorcycle ministry and had witnessed and prayed and seen many people come to the Lord because they seen a difference, okay? And the difference is not through me personally or how I'm dressed or what I look like or what I've been through. They just saw Jesus in me, amen, and those around me. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. And as far as this, you yourselves, I got to tell you, on a Wednesday night to walk in here and see the smiles and the praise and the songs and the ones that you sang, that, you know, He is holy on heaven and earth, okay? And you said in your song, in your special, there's a verse in there that said, if we have the faith to believe. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because I'm going to ask you a very, very, very detailed question. The very detailed question is, who are you in Christ? Now, let's think about that a second. Who are you? I'm not talking about Brother Jimmy. I'm not talking about Bob. I'm talking about you personally. Who are you in Christ? And I'm going to explain that in just a few minutes. So, if we take that in context, our main scripture tonight is going to come out of Matthew. But we're going to jump around just a little bit. And the main text tonight coming out of Matthew, let me get my glasses on here because I'm old too. Out of chapter 16, and we're going to look right at into verse 15, okay? Verse 15 of chapter 16 of Matthew. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But before I do, I also want to ask you this question. How many of you ever watched this movie, Facing the Giants? Huh? If you haven't, maybe get Brother Jimmy to do a Sunday night movie night or something, okay? And show this movie. I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to learn about it. But all of us, and Jimmy's preached this past Sunday on spiritual warfare, right? Okay? And we face giants in our everyday life. Amen, that's right. Everyday life and everything that we do, that Satan is at full work of trying to discourage you, keep you beaten down in anything that you do. And you have to have the tools and the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? Amen? And if we can keep that in mind, then we can fight many battles that most Christians today give up on. So keep that in mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Father God, we come into your holy presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to be with New Life Fellowship and, Lord, to be part of the community again. But, Lord, most of all, we thank you that you allowed your Son to go to that cross and to die for our sins. And that through his death and burial and resurrection, and we acknowledge that, and we accept that, we believe that, we live that, that we are blood-bought child of God. So Lord, tonight I pray, first of all, that everything that's said and done here tonight, that you be magnified and that I be decreased. And that, Lord, that those hearts that are hurting, those hearts that don't know you, that, Lord, at first that they will accept you as the Lord and Savior of Almighty, of heavens and earth, that you are the King of Kings. Those that are facing difficulty and facing those giants in their daily life, I pray that they'll come to this altar tonight and turn those things over to you and allow that burden to come off their shoulders, because you are the great Almighty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So the question was, who are you in Christ? Well, let's look at this little bit of a scripture. In the very beginning, right up there in verse 13, it starts talking about when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He asked a question. Who do they say I am? Okay. Then he goes on. In verse 13 or 14, they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. But then, in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" There's not another reference. It's completely directed to us individually. It is not saying you all. It is not saying them, or what do you think about this? He's just asking you a direct question. Who do you say that I am? What do I mean today? Well, here's where I come up with this. This is something that has been on my heart for well over a year. Because each and every one of us in my particular region, in our things, we all battle different things. Okay? We all battle different things. And when I was preparing the message and talking about in the 17th chapter of Samuel about David facing Goliath, facing that great big old giant, when the entire army of Israel was camped up, sitting on a hillside, David's following his father's orders to go out and take some stuff out to his brothers that were on the battle line. Being a retired army guy and being on the battle lines in different places, I can understand that, because you have to have supplies. And when you're in battle, you also are faced on a line sometimes. You can either be faced from a distance, or you can be faced as close as I am to you now, or closer. And you are prepared to fight. Well, when David came on the scene, first of all, if you go back and look at that chapter and look at that thing, you'll see some things that he says. He asked his brother, "Well, why are y'all standing here?" He could not fathom the factor that here you were, the great army of Israel was standing stifled because of one person. Even though he was huge, they stopped. So where is the answer that I ask? Who do you say where God is? Who do you say I am? David understood that his Lord was all powerful. Even then, he understood that there was all kinds of things that was going on, but here's this great army that was stopped. And even when he said, "I'll go," his brothers and stuff started mocking him. He said, "No, you can't do this, or you're just too, you're just full of yourself." We get that way. And then next thing you see is he goes up and somebody overheard him talking, and they run up and they start talking about to the king, okay? He runs up there and he says, oh, that guy there said he could whoop him. So old Saul says, bring him to me. Saul gets him up there and gets him in the face. He looks at him. Even though he was little, even though he wasn't the military look, Saul said, you think you can do it? We'll equip you. Here, take my armor. Wrong. Wrong. Because Saul's armor don't fit you. Saul's armor today don't fit you. Saul's armor doesn't work for you. It don't work. I mean, he tried it on. He said, I can't do this. He took the tools that God told him to take. He took up the five stones. He took out the sling that he was used to. He was able to overcome them that same way he overcome the bear and overcome the lion. Because he knew his God was the powerful Almighty. He knew that he was the Alpha and Omega. He knew that he was the one and only. He knew that he was full of power. Are you with me? That's what that cross did for us. We have that power. We have that authority. We have those things that God has given us, but we fail to use them properly. We get too full of ourselves. So let's look at this a little further on down. He said, then Simon Peter said and answered him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bojana, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. 19, he said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's powerful. That is absolutely powerful. He says, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they tell no one that he was Jesus Christ. So if you sit down and you sit there and you just think for a second, if you have the faith to believe, if he says in Scripture that if you have the faith of a small little bitty mustard seed, that if in fact you put it in the ground, it grows into a hedge bush. It'll grow bigger than them bushes we tore out to the lighthouse, okay? They're big, it's huge, it grows. All you need is that one little seed. All you need is that one little bitty thing that's put in your heart that says, I am a blood-bought child of God. That's what you've got to maintain. And when you get that, that's called the Holy Spirit. And you take the Holy Spirit and you exercise that in your prayer life, in your Bible study, in your witnessing. You take a person that is on fire for Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you, you think you're going to get battles? You're going to have one battle right after another, because Satan is fired up about not allowing you to do what you want, because he knows he's going to lose and you're going to win. That's where you're at. And you take that. Oh, Brother Rick, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I do. Because he says over here in Matthew 28, jump with me, in the Great Commission, he says, in verse 17, I think it is, yes it is, let's read the whole thing. start up there in verse 16. He said, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them to. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and some even doubted. Now, wait a minute, Brother Jimmy. These were his disciples. He said in the scripture that some of them said, that ain't Christ. Who do you say Christ is in your life? Do you have the doubt when you're looking at a situation of cancer that God can't heal you? Absolutely not. You keep the faith. Do you think that when you have a job problem and you lose a job that all of a sudden that you're doubting what God can do for you and what he can give you? Hope not, because he's probably got a better job for you lined up. And it may not be about money, but it may be he puts you in a place to where you're going to be the greatest witness within that company, that within that warehouse, or wherever it may be. And let's trust me, you're still going to make it through. Amen? You've got to put things in perspective in what God is doing with you and how you can do it. You take your prayer life. If you sit down in your prayer life and you sit down and say, oh, Lord, I need you to heal my son because of his addiction. He is on these drugs, and I want these drugs to go away. I don't want him to have them in his body, or this alcoholism, or his apathy, or whatever it may be. And then you stand around and sit down and you go, well, what am I going to do next? How am I going to help him? What am I going to do? Because then you just took it away from God and tried to put it, and you're trying to fix it yourself. It ain't going to work. I ain't telling you not to take care of your family. I'm not telling you to show love. But sometimes when you run into a situation, you have to turn it totally over to God and walk away from it and let God handle it. Amen? Because if you don't, you're just going to stretch it out. But here's where I'm going with this. In that very next verse, it says in 18, and Jesus came to them and he spoke to them saying, all, not part, not just a little bit, not just a smidgen, not just an ounce. He's saying that all authority has been given to me in where? Heaven and earth. So go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Why are you telling us all this, Brother Rick? Well, it's very simple. You know why God gave me this message? Because I've been toying with so many different things in the ministry and stuff like that, because I'm seeing in our county, and I told Brother Jimmy, and it's not just in our county, it's all over the United States, that in our county there was 363 churches live and well, and now there's only 112. Churches are closing their door. Christians are giving up. Christians are taking the beating. They've said they're done. Instead of standing up with the authority that God has given you, and with the politics and with the drugs and with the sin and everything else, stand up for Jesus. Stop sitting down. Because you have the authority. You can do this. He gives it to you. Take a hold of it. Live it. Live it. Each and every second. And he will provide. He's going to get with it. He has been, and he will be. You know why I know that? Right here. Right here in front of me. Right here in front of me. Here is an army right here in front of me. God's army that is not afraid to go after the giant. He's not afraid. They're ready to go to battle. They're equipped with everything they need. They have a fired up pastor. They have a loving pastor. They have a loving family. And they're here to support and find and get you your needs. And you are the front line to go out and witness across this town and bring those people in who are lost and need your help, because you're the front line and not him. Why did you talk about this, Brother Rick? Let's go to Revelations. Go to Revelations chapter 3. I'm not going to talk about a dead church. These are seven letters that are sent out, okay, by the angels to the seven churches of Asia. And it talks about the loving church. It talks about the good church. It talks about the bad church and everything else. We're going to talk about the lukewarm church. That's what it says. And I'm just going to address two scriptures. It says in chapter 3 in verses 15 and 16. I want you to look at that for a second. Depending upon whatever translations you have, I'm preaching out of the New King James Version. It says there, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then in verse 16, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's pretty strong words, ain't they? In other words, he tells us right there in the book of Revelation that he knows, and he knew ahead of time whenever he created the heavens and earth that we were going to be in this situation, that we were going to have churches that are just stifled, that they're just making it happen because they're not going outside their walls. They're not going into the thing in the cities and stuff, and they're not standing up on the holy word of God, and they're letting everything else become more powerful than the blood of Christ. Who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Just this week alone, we have had prayer meetings downstairs. We have had devotions downstairs during this week. Most of the people that has came up on this mission trip with us this week are brand new, never been here before. There's three of us that had been up here before. One of them was my wife. She went back today. And we have bonded like you could never believe. We have bonded, and we're praying right now that we as a group that can go back to our own home church and spread that power of the Holy Spirit through, and that fellowship and that strength that God has given us and that power, and spread it throughout our church and around our community. We've been talking about ideas and different things that we can do to continue to minister to our community. And there's a lot of ministry. A lot of ministry. But there's never enough. Are you with me? There's never enough. I have this saying, and you've probably heard it before. It's nothing that I created. It actually came from Pastor Warren in Purpose Driven Life, and he says, just one more for Jesus. Just one more for Jesus. He's not telling you to go out and be a Billy Graham. He's not telling you to do that. He's just telling you to talk to the person next to you. He's talking to the person next to him to wrap their arms around him and put the love to him and tell him the truth. Tell them the truth. Because that's all they're looking for. They have been lied to for so long and so much, they're confused. When they drive by their church house and stuff, they know who you are. Live up to what you say you are. Because that way, when you go out on the street, they see the truth. A lot of people that I run into in the biker communities, they'll tell me right off the bat, I've been to church, I didn't like it. Why is that? Because most of them in there was worse than I was. Hypocritical. Well, I say, come on back, brother, join me. One more ain't gonna make no difference. You gotta get into their life. You gotta get into knowledge of them, okay? But that's what they are. Well, I'm too bad. I've led a guy to Christ. When I turned around and looked at him, I said, Jimmy, I can't leave here. I can't leave your house until I know, if you die today, are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? And he dropped his head. And he says, I'm too bad. I said, if you're too bad, I ain't got a chance. I ain't got a chance. His wife, or he accepted Jesus Christ that night. His wife accepted Jesus Christ about a month after that. Their son had, Timmy went and accepted Christ after that a few months later. What I didn't know when I first met him, and I met him in the Harley shop at Bowling Green, Kentucky. I knew him for about a year. Me and him drawed a bond together. But what I didn't know that he had melanoma cancer. And when I got the phone call from his wife that he had passed away, because they did not want to tell me, because I was praying that God was going to heal him completely, 100%. But during that year, once he accepted Christ, he was able to, and him and his wife and his child went to church every Sunday. They got involved in everything else that they could do, and others followed in behind them. And Jimmy's life was taken. Finally, God said, it's time to come home, my faithful servant. I got a phone call. I was getting ready to go to church on Sunday morning. Wife and them were gone. All my transportation I had was my motorcycle. It was pouring down rain. I had to go to 120 miles down to Salina, Tennessee from Kentucky. I had a Sunday school class to teach. I called a couple of people and I said, I got to go to a funeral. I got to go down to see my brother. I just got told that he was dead. How this all came about was very simple. I met the man at a Harley shop. We became brothers. I was a truck driver after I retired out of service, and just retired out from that, thank God. I was late going down to Alabama. I went completely out of my route, not because I wanted to, because the Holy Spirit was telling me to go that way. And it kept going over my mind and over my mind and through my mind that you have to go see Jimmy. You have to go see Jimmy. You have to go see Jimmy. And I swear to you right here, right now, God is my witness, that he turned my truck in every direction to Jimmy's house. Knocked on their door at 10 o'clock at night, and Jimmy accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. But the point I'm trying to get at, folks, who are you in Christ? If I totally ignored that, where would Jimmy be today? Where would his wife be today? Because a year after he passed away, she had an aneurysm and she died. Now, where is the child at today? Well, I'm going to tell you. He's in a place called New Life in Cookeville, Tennessee, as an associate pastor to an outgoing church of over 5,000 people. That's where he's at today. But when I arrived at that funeral home, because they was doing one day funeral and visitation service, pouring down rain and getting there and the whole nine yards, Lisa met me at the doorway, and she met me. I was soaking wet, and she wrapped her arms around me, and she said, "It's okay. He's healed completely, because I know where he's at, and he's in heaven." With your heads, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't know if you have an invitation song or anything like that. If you can come on up, I just want to talk to you for a couple more minutes.